You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Cynthia Lotti. Cynthia, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Cynthia, we're going to talk about your show, beautiful show at James Fuentes, Little Storms, that's up now. So to begin, talking about the work in the show, the sculpture, as I understand it, these are ceramic figures, but this isn't always how you've been working, right? As a sculptor, you've worked in multiple mediums before ending up with ceramic work?
Yeah. I mean, my primary practice in the last 15 years has been ceramic sculptures. But before that, I had experimented with, really early on, I was doing a lot of combined material sculpture, and, using found objects to make little sculptures. And then I slowly started to kind of branch out and I did some plaster relief sculptures. And that was a really great segue into the ceramic, really perfecting my skills at sculpting in clay, because I would sculpt the clay originals and make a mold of them to then get the plaster finished pieces. So that was kind of a great introduction. I did clay as a child quite a bit, but then in school I didn't do any, and then for maybe 10 years after school I didn't do any either. So it was a nice way to kind of remind me of the possibilities of clay, and then I really started really focusing on clay. I have done some pieces in metals. Those are very few. I want to get back into that. Also, I've cast a few pieces in glass for a while. I was working in glass. I think I tend to use the materials that I feel like evoke the correct response in me, or effectively say what I want to say, and also fit within the parameters of the space I'm working in, the budget I have, things like that. So I've been really delighted working in clay, and I'm thinking in now more of experimenting more in different materials, like different metals that really excite me right now. But that's, thinking into the future. The clay work, also there's been pieces that are combinations of clay sculptures that I've made with found objects. I'm most likely going to return to that at some point as well.
It's such an interesting process. So let's go through some of them they really all seem to be approached in different ways. White foam is a piece that that's in terms of the glaze or how it's being colored or not, sure, is different than the rest. And also the gesture is really interesting, right? This holding a phone that's not the kind of phone we see, it's a the image of it is really right. We don't ever see that anymore. But the image is also very interesting. It's as though, that kind of holding the phone away from the ear to listen to a conversation.
Yeah.
Such a kind of unusual kind of body positioning. So, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the content of that. It feels like a story there a little bit, but also
terms of the color. The observation about the figure, having a very specific gesture is universal for all my pieces. I'm very careful about what gestures I sculpt, what they're doing, what the figures are actually doing. The sources for all the sculptures come from found images that I just find in the world. that specific one you're talking about, white foam, is from a phone advertisement from the early 70s, and I was really drawn to her pose, and I just thought it was an awesome picture, and I pulled it from the magazine and put it up on my wall, and then eventually I did a drawing of it, and then eventually I sculpted it, which is pretty much my process. It's just surrounding myself with these really images that I you know, kind of gather from my hunting out in the world for interesting, you know, pictures of things or objects. And, you know, I bring them into the studio, and then some of them actually end up being going through the transformation of me drawing them and then sculpting them. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't, I think that there's not a direct correlation between any of the figures and their source material. I mean, their source material is like, I don't think you could figure it out on your own. Like, I change them a lot, you know, it's just the in my, but I have to initially be really, really inspired by the image that I you know, find. That's the basis for all the, for everything in the work.
So there's a number of drawings. It sounds like there's a lot of preparatory work before you.
Yeah,
you
there's just one drawing. There'll just be one drawing of each piece. But yeah, I draw a lot, and all of the drawings don't become sculptures. So I draw for two reasons. I mean, for many reasons, actually. It's like exercise to me. It keeps me fresh. It really helps me understand what I love about the initial image that I'm using, and it also conceptually can change how I, if I get really sloppy and aggressive in my drawing, that then eventually goes into my sculpting. So there's a lot of sort of, you know, ways that the drawings then affect the sculptures. I have to draw.
That's so interesting. So to talk about those kind of, you know, how drawing enters into it, two sculptures that seem kind of like the opposite ends of that are, there's white foam, which we're talking about, and then there's satin. Satin has a very different kind of coloring, and also the form is getting close to abstract. I mean, we see a figure, but suddenly the coloring here is, you know, very unlike white foam, of course, and the form itself looks like it's, you know, falling apart or coming together.
Right.
There's
something
completely different happening there.
Yeah.
It seems.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, some of those ideas probably were started in drawing, you know, how I draw, or just the freedom of drawing. Some of that is just me wanting to push myself further and further, deeper and deeper into what I'm doing. That one was a pretty somewhat unusual, and that it feels really aggressive to me, and very, you know, which I guess they all are, but to me that one feels particularly that way. And she is sort of losing control. Like, her surfaces and stuff are just all over the place. And, you know, that's exciting to me to be able to do that on a kind of beautiful form. You know, it's a figure. I love being able to, you know, have this gorgeous, you know, sculpted thing and then really mess it up. There's that contrast that happens. I feel my work is a lot about where things butt up against each other, you know.
It's so interesting. So in that one, satin, I mean, to talk a little bit more about that, is it that the drawing affected that final outcome the way you were saying earlier? Or because the energy, as you're saying, is so different there.
I don't know. I mean, maybe somewhat. I mean, probably part of it is just me just getting mad at myself for being too safe, you know, and then just going, okay, let's sculpt this one. It's really going to be, you know, see what happens with this, you know. So I approach them all that way. I mean, I want them to have all that energy in them.
Well, that's what's exciting, really. The palette in all of these. There's another one that I don't know the name from that I saw, but it was a kind of a brilliant red, and also figurative,
red.
but also that one is also very different from the rest. Right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, very different. I mean, that was another one where I was like, I've only done one other red sculpture ever. right? So I was red is a it's a powerful color, you know. It has lots of connotations, you know. And I just thought, well, can I do this? Can I really do this? And I was like, let's just see, you know, let's just see, just paint her red. And if you, the red also is not just one glaze out of one bottle. There's probably three or four different ways I get the red on that piece. There's probably a stain, you know, maybe two different red glazes combined. You know, there's it's, so it's not just a flat red. And I think that really, I like that in my pieces where there's that depth of color. But yeah, but when she came out of the kiln, I was like, no, that's the perfect, that's, she needs to be red, you know, for sure. It was pretty exciting. I mean, I will look at the drawings when I'm sculpting, but sometimes I actually don't even bother looking at the drawings. I might just go to the original photo and scope from that. Have the drawing in the background, maybe look up at it a few times.
That's so interesting. So talk about the like the whole installation, you know, I mean, the red in that, I mean, that's why I remembered it. And when I was looking for the name afterwards, I didn't find it, but the red really stands out, right? In the whole grouping, red. which is a variety of colors. There's darks and pinks and, But what do you think about that interaction between all of them? Because I always think, especially when I see so many that are figurative, it's almost like a family or like a conversation with all of this.
They really like to be near each other. I mean, in the studio, they're often just kind of hanging out near, you know, they just randomly get placed by each other. And that also can generate ideas in my head about things, but the installation of the work was mostly James Fuente's staff, particularly Laura Brown was a real help in deciding how it would be installed, and I agreed with all of her decisions. The idea was to create a plane. You know, they're all on pedestals, but the pedestals are all the same height, so I felt like there would just be these jewels on each pedestal, so they'd be able to have their own world, but they would interact with the other pieces. And when we were setting it up, it was really kind of fun because I felt like it was almost like I was making a whole other artwork use with the materials being, you know, the 13 sculptures, you know. And how would they, we played around with them, moved them around, made sure they interacted with each other really well in that space. And there were more, we had 21 sculptures to choose from as well. There wasn't just the 13, we had sent extras. So, that was important, you know, for the, you know, I feel like the show is its own piece in itself, but then individually they're their own as well.
Yeah, it's so interesting, that kind of conversation between them all. So, you know, Imi's, to talk about like some of the others that are here. White foam we talked about, in satin and the red piece. The others are, you know, from pink to very dark glazes are also mostly part of figures, right? Legs aren't completely there, or arms.
Right.
White foam is one of the few where the entire figure is there.
It's complete.
Can you tell me a little bit about that choice? Because the others look almost, you remind me of almost classical, like Greek sculpture, where you see parts.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I love going to museums and looking in those galleries, you know, where the antiquities are and where just how they're displayed, you know, one little, you know, fragment of an arm can be so incredibly expressive, you know, and a lot of times their arms are missing. I mean, when I'm sculpting, sometimes the sculpture will be, you know, missing its arms, and I'll just look at it and say, well, does it need its arms? Maybe it doesn't need them. And so if I feel like it doesn't need it, I won't put it in there. And I've done that for so long that I hardly even notice, like, when I don't put an arm on something or don't finish the leg, you know, it comes so naturally. But once again, I think that just, it evokes, it then connects you to all the other sculptures you've seen that are broken, you know, broken sculptures or fragments or, you know, and that goes back to the my love of sort of the where things butt up against each other, because you have this maybe, you know, beautiful face or beautiful form, but the arm is completely missing, or they have no legs or something like that. Yeah,
that's so interesting. You know, I mean, there's also, I mean, different feelings to all of these, right? We were talking about
red
which, girl and white phone and satin.
Yeah.
There's one called Sock, an older work, but that one also had seemed to me a wonderful sense of humor to it. It's also headless, right? That's a very different one.
As though, it's just the bottom part of the figure. And that was actually from, I'm pretty sure it was from a book on posture, probably. A weird photo of the person's legs that just, I was like, that's perfect. I like that. Mostly because the sock, one sock's up and one sock's down. It just seems so, it just caught my eye. I mean,
it has a sense of humor too, right? Where, I mean, we're drawn to that. The title draws us to this sock. I might not have noticed that sock if that wasn't the title.
Right. I mean, I think my work is very funny in a lot of ways. I mean, I think sometimes I'm not trying to make them humorous, but I think just that I did that is funny to me. Like, oh, I did a sculpture of someone with a sock that's falling off.
Well, it's nice to see, because you don't often see a sense of humor in artwork.
Right.
You know, or for me, it's rare. Would one of those be? There was also a big blue hat, which I really liked.
Right,
also.
That's the same thing. Like, you know, it's like it was such a great hat. I just sculpted it. I mean, sometimes, you know, and my initial response to the image, it has to really grab me. I mean, I look at thousands of images in a week, right? You know, and I might find three or four that will go up on the wall and that I really love, you know, so they're very specific. So once they've, you know, won my heart over, then I just go for it and just play around and see what seems to work the best.
Once the whole show is up, I mean, this is a big show for you. It's in New York.
Yes.
When the whole show is up after working with Laura and everything, did you have a different sense of your sculpture, of the inflation? Because it's always, you never quite see it like that in the studio, right? Did they speak to you in another way or to each other in a way that you didn't expect?
I think I was just so overwhelmed that I had, they're pretty close to how I kind of envisioned it, which is rare. I mean, I think most shows I've ever had where it's so those shows of mine, it hasn't quite felt like that. I think mostly because I had helped with arranging the install, so I kind of didn't have that moment of surprise walking in going, oh. But when I think of them now in that space, it's incredible to me. When I was in New York last week, I was just going through a lot of emotions about being very proud and, you know, feeling like I had really accomplished something. So the pieces, I mean, they seem to belong there, and that felt really good. They seem to feel like they had a good home at that, in that space and in that gallery with, you know, with the James and his incredible staff, you know, there. That felt good. That felt really good.
That is exciting because it's a collaboration too, in a way, right? I mean, there's, as you say, James Staff, and then the help Laura gave in terms of positioning these and how they're kind of talking to one another.
It felt perfect, which is rare, I think.
So too. That's so nice to hear.
Yeah.
Cindy, it's great talking to you about this, and there's more links in here so people can hopefully see the show and learn more about it.
Yeah.
I want to ask you one more question before we go a little off topic, but I'm always curious what everyone's reading. What are you reading at the moment?
There's a book about the photographer Vivian Mayer that just came out, or came out a year or two ago. I'm reading that. It's actually really good. Is that
the book about her life or just her images?
It's a book about her life. I think it's called Exposed, maybe, or something like that. I can't remember the name, but that's what I'm reading right now. I'm actually really enjoying it because it changed my, she had actually tried to be a professional photographer in New York. And I didn't know about that period of her life. So there's quite a few things I didn't know about her, since she was discovered. I don't know how long, 10 years ago, maybe, that all that stuff came out about her. But, it's a good book.
Well, thank you. And again, Cynthia, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today. It's been a pleasure, and I wish you well with this show.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.